Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh, and we're going behind the headlines. It wasn't a total surprise that Governor Greitens would call a special session of the legislature. It is surprising to some that he's called one for Monday and to deal with an issue that was not on everyone's radar. Joining me in studio to talk about it is St. Louis Public Radio political reporter Joe Manis. Joe, great to have you back with us again.
Well, thanks for asking me.
As I indicated, not unexpected that the special session would be called, a special session would be called, but it's pretty quick.
Yeah. Now, the governor, there's been speculation the governor may call another one, actually more closer to the veto session. The veto session's in September. Mm-hmm. Often, traditionally, the governors will do special sessions, if they're going to do one, close to then, just to save on costs, because that the legislators, they're still paying. It's close to $130,000 a week for the per diems and all the costs for bringing the House and Senate back. And so since a special session, they're doing it anyway. Some feel that it saves money, because a special session often may only last a day or two. I mean, I've covered one that lasted a week, but most of them only last a few days. That this was surprising, and here is why this is happening. During the last few days of the General Assembly, there was a lot of attention placed on a state representative from that area. His name's Don Roan, who gave a very passionate speech on the floor as he was trying to get an amendment on a bill. The aim was to get the State Public Service Commission to negotiate for lower utility rates.
Okay, let me just stop you here. Okay. And back up a little okay. bit and explain what the issue is that is bringing the legislature
right.
into session.
Well, that's what this is.
Right, but it deals with an aluminum smelting plant.
Correct. Well, yeah. Aluminum, okay. Noranda, which may not be the common name for a lot of people in the St. Louis area. They may not have heard that much about it. But Noranda, for decades, ran an aluminum smelting operation in southeast Missouri and was actually the largest employer outside of farms in southeast Missouri. At its peak, it employed well over 1,000 people. It was 900 in the last few years. It used a lot of electricity was needed to produce the aluminum. Hmm. And in fact, Ameren, when I did a big story on this about 3 years ago, said that Noranda on a typical day used more electricity than the entire city of Springfield, Missouri, which is the third largest city in the mm-hmm. state. Well, Noranda, as I said, was a major employer. It was purchased by some East Coast hedge fund firm about 3 years ago. And it ran into some hard times, in part because the aluminum market sort of collapsed. Some critics claim it's because the Chinese aluminum has flooded the U.S. market. And so the result is that the aluminum prices got so low that some of the U.S. operations shut down.
Is Noranda still in business?
No, it shut down about 15 months ago.
Okay.
And since then, that's had a huge economic, it's been an economic drag on that part of the state. So State Rep Don Roan gave this very passionate speech during late in the session last week, asking for legislators to approve a provision that would allow the Public Service Commission to negotiate with Ameren to get lower rates again for Noranda and for a proposed steel plant that would be built in the area. He claimed we're talking about 500 jobs because Noranda has been sold. It's got a new name, but most people still call it by Noranda. And so he was claiming that these would be 500 good-paying jobs. All right. So, and he was claiming that time was of the essence because there's other states trying to woo the steel plant. Now, I haven't been able to find many details in the steel plant, even by talking to the legislators from that part of the state. But the result is that the governor, for whatever reason, felt that it would be important to get this done right away. Because if they wait till September, the belief is that the opportunity for the steel plant will be gone.
What specifically would the legislation that he would like to see passed do?
Well, and see, this is the big question. Okay, because it's not like there's like some bill sitting out there. Roan's bill would, as I mentioned, allow the PSC, which governs utilities in the state, to try to negotiate lower rates. Now, Noranda always did have lower rates when it was in operation. In fact, it had the lowest utility rates in the state for
a long
time.
So it could go back into business.
Right. Correct. Yeah, okay. Correct. And that's what the governor says his appeal is. Now, the state senator from that part of the state, whose name's Senator Doug Leibler, who's from Poplar Bluff, supports the general idea of trying to get lower rates for the Noranda or the steel plant. But he objects to another provision that had been in Roan's proposal that gave Ameren much more autonomy in dealing with the PSC. And Leibler says that the result is that it would reduce state oversight of the utility. And that's what he objects to, because he was concerned that this could lead to higher rates for everybody else in the state.
Including St. Louis, obviously.
Correct. Now, his concern is Southeast Missouri. So what's fascinating to me is that I just got this confirmed right before the show, is that the governor, as most of our listeners know, he has a nonprofit, a 501c4, which does political stuff. It can get unlimited amounts from unknown donors. And he's been upfront about this. It's run by some of his former campaign people. They confirmed that they are attacking Leibler. They are not saying exactly what they're doing, whether they're going to be running ads or what they're going to be doing the next few days to try, because of his stance on the original legislation. Now, again, we don't know exactly what's going to be produced on Monday. And I think what the governor was hoping for, that there would be some quick kumbaya moment, everybody would support this quick piece of legislation, and it would just take a couple days. Well, there's already some talk that there may be some filibusters going on, especially in the Senate. And these are from fellow Republicans who are concerned either about this provision or they're sore at the governor over some of these attacks.
The governor is flexing his muscles. How
yeah.
How likely would you think that these Republicans, his same party fellows, are likely to go along with him?
Well, I want to emphasize, most of them are supportive of the general idea.
Yeah.
At least the ones that we've talked to. But like Schaaf, State Senator Rob Schaaf, who's from the western part of the state, who's been in the governor's sights for other reasons, he's a Republican too, was hinting that he's going to be questioning this because he wants to make sure this isn't going to lead to higher rates for his constituents. So they could be a little more rockier than what the governor is thinking that it was going to be. He's already got a video of himself on Twitter that he put up yesterday where he's explaining that
the governor
that he's explaining that he's for good paying jobs. And then he makes this jab against career politicians. It doesn't say who. Now, what's fascinating is that, let's say, Leibler has been in office only 5 years. The state rep down there who's sponsoring this legislation, been there 3 years. So we're not talking people who've been in office for like 20 years. Of course, the governor, this is his first office. But my point is to see a Republican governor going after fellow Republicans, and it's getting really nasty just days before the special session. I cannot remember ever seeing that, ever.
And there's the added element that you've suggested of some dark money out there getting ready to come into play, probably.
Probably. Now, I want to emphasize, none of this is illegal, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not doing anything. It's illegal. And I did a big story about 6 weeks ago. There's other states where other governors are doing
sure.
this.
Does it surprise you that he has selected this issue for a special session?
Well, as I said, there's a lot of economic pressure to try to do something. And jobs had been one of his key things. Also, if you're a Republican, you need to care about what goes on in rural Missouri, because rural Missouri, up until about 15 years ago, there were still a lot of Democrats who represented rural Missouri. But rural Missouri now is virtually entirely red country. So if you're a Republican and you're the governor and you're being encouraged by other Republicans from that part of the state to do something, and the economic people are telling you you need to do something, it would seem to be ripe. But again, there's all these other things coming into play, because you've got some Republicans, including a state senator down there, who want to see what the legislation is first. They want to make sure they're not trading something off.
But there are some other issues that were left on the table in the session. A lot of people, I think, more broadly were familiar with the prescription drug thing. There were some abortion issues, for instance,
right.
that were there. And they're not on the table, obviously, for this session. Why aren't they there as well?
Okay, well, first, for a special session, a governor has to be very specific. They can't just bring him in and let's say, let's do a do-over of the session. It doesn't work like that. They have to say, we're going to deal with this, we're going to deal with this, whatever. So, and generally speaking, they try to have their ducks in a row before you call it. So that's what's surprising about these last-minute attacks, because like when Nixon used to, Jay Nixon, the Democratic governor before him, when he had a special session, they would try to have everything in a row so people could come in, vote on it, and leave. Now, there have been cases. In fact, there's an infamous case, what, 6 years ago, when Nixon called people into special session to do something for the Lambert Field, the Aerotropolis, this whole thing they were going to do to encourage trade with China. That special session devolved into a disaster, and nothing really got done. They spent all this money, and nothing got passed, and it was very, very bloody, politically bloody.
But generally, when governors of Missouri call special sessions, does the legislature fall in line with what the governor wants?
Well, not necessarily. Usually it's because they've already worked behind the scenes. Let's take the case of the opioid abuse and the effort to get Missouri to join every other state in having some sort of prescription drug database. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, but that's been a big issue for years in Missouri. Some people say it violates privacy. Others say it's needed to track the use of opioids and other addictive drugs. Well, what you would normally do is you would already have been working behind the scenes so that everybody would agree, so you wouldn't see what happens. They said with Aerotropolis a few years ago, where they made the mistake of not having an agreement so that when everybody came in, they knew what the bill was going to be and they knew they had a majority support.
You would think, however, given the expense of these special sessions and given the fact that there may be another one to deal with the issues we're just talking about here, that they'd lump them all together. He could do more than one issue to bring them back, couldn't he?
Well, he could, but frankly, I mean, the session just ended. And he knows that there's no agreement, let's say, on the opioid issue. He knows that. So why bring it up in a special session? Yeah, because things did get hung up. There was a bill that almost made it across the finish line but didn't. And I won't go into all the ins and outs. But the point is that many of those disagreements are still there. So it could be that at this point they're figuring they're going to need the summer to kind of get some of that resolved. So, but in the case of Noranda and the steel plant, they're hearing that other states are trying to woo that steel plant. And there's concern that if they don't act now, the opportunity will dissolve, and that if they wait until September, it's going to be too late, and that these jobs will be gone, and the steel plant will be locating somewhere else, because there's several states that are wooing to try to get it. Because as you know, steel used to be a big deal in the United States. I'm from Northern Indiana, where we used to have all these steel plants. Well, most of them aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Same way Pennsylvania. So the idea of having a steel plant with good paying jobs is something that's really attracting a lot of interest.
So given the fact that this issue is not as sexy as some others, still going to be kind of fun to watch because of all the politics involved.
Oh yeah, especially because of all this stuff. As I said, it's. I mean, for the average person, I think, just wants to see something done. Mm-hmm. For those of us who watch it, I mean, unfortunately, it's sort of like watching a boxing match or something. You're trying to get involved in some of the other – you're, you know, paying attention to some of the other issues. And again, this can affect the bottom line. When you've got the Republicans somewhat disarray right now, some key Republicans, and the governor going after them publicly – you're not sure how this is going to play out on Monday and Tuesday when everybody shows up in Jeff City.
All right. And St. Louisans should pay attention because ultimately their electric utility bills could go up.
Well, or not. As I said, Ameren says that's not necessarily the case. But I want to be very clear on that.
But it could affect the St. Louis area, even though the plants that we're talking about are 100-plus miles away.
Potentially.
Joe Manis, thank you so much. Always interesting to get your insight. Joe Manis, St. Louis Public Radio political reporter. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.